Thank you, Brendan. Thank you for the privilege of the invitation to come and share. And it's been a good service. Who's believed that? It's been a good service tonight so far. And I'm very excited to be here. And so it's been a big weekend in our church. I'm from Southwest Christian Church in Hoppers Crossing. Does anyone know where Hoppers Crossing is? We're a bit of the hood down there. It's a crazy place, but it's a good place. And so I've been part of Southwest Christian Church for about 19 years, and so I've been the youth pastor there for about 6 years, and I've just recently become the young adults pastor as of about a month ago, and prior to that I was the kids pastor for 2.5-3 years. So it's been a whole heap of fun, and down at Southwest we're in the middle of a building project at the moment. And so we've just got a brand new auditorium that we launched about 6 months ago, and then in about 6 weeks' time we have our offices and our foyer and cafe area that'll be finished, and we have our own youth building, which will be really cool. So that's about 6 or 7 weeks away, so we're really excited about that. And so it's very, very exciting times. And as Brendan said, I am the City West Youth Alive Director for this region. And I'm also part of the State Youth Alive team, and so it's a great honour to be here. And for those that don't know me, 25 years of age, I've been married for about 2 years, and my wife, unfortunately, she was going to be here tonight, but unfortunately she is in Bali on holidays. And I'm here committed to your church, and my wife is away over in Bali having a holiday with her best friend. And so I'm looking forward to her coming back on Tuesday morning. So she's been away for the last 5 days, so it'd be good to pick her up from the airport in a couple of days, which will be very good. So she's Sri Lankan. She was born here, but she is well and truly Sri Lankan. And so you may not notice this about me, but I'm actually half Chinese. Who would have picked that? No one would have picked that. A lot of people think that I'm Maltese or from like around that area. But I can say I'm not Maltese. I'm actually half Chinese and half Dutch. It's kind of a strange mix. So I'm the first generation Australian in my family. So that's why I'm kind of a little bit dark, but not really dark. I'm a bit confused. I'm half this, half that. I don't really know what I am. But it's all good. I'm a bit of everything. So our church, we got a great church back in Hoppers Crossing, and so, 70% of our church, I don't know for those that even know Southwest, but 70% of our church are from overseas. They were actually born overseas and moved here, in the last 10, 15 years. And so our church is quite diverse, and so even like my youth leadership team, like I think I have about 3 Aussies and the rest are all from everywhere else. So it's good, it's exciting, and it's an absolute honour to be here tonight. So tonight I want to talk about the difference between a good idea and a God idea. Does anyone set New Year's resolutions? Does anyone set New Year's resolutions? I don't, because I just don't stick to them. But some people, like, it was a big thing with a few of our youth guys are setting up all these New Year's resolutions. I'm like, they don't work, don't worry about it. After 2 weeks they'll be gone and nothing, you won't be able to hold it, whatever. And so I did a bit of research. I was talking to our young people and I'm like, what's the most popular New Year's resolutions and what are their good ideas have come up with for this year? And so these are a few random ones that I picked up The first one is this: I resolve to spend an even 15 hours per week watching reality TV shows rather than the 14.8 hours that I currently do. I will double the amount of minutes I use on my phone each month so I can actually get my money's worth. I will study during the year and not just 48 hours before my exam. This is a good one for young teenagers. I will do less laundry and use more deodorant. I'm all good. This is another good one for the young guys. I promise to clean my room once a week, even though I haven't done it more than once in the past year. We got any teenagers that haven't cleaned their room for a long, long time? Some are like, yeah, they're kind of scared to put their hand up. I promise to play more computer games. Scientists say they're good for you and improve your visual skills. But you always knew that, of course. And I promise to pick up the kids from school on time and not leave them waiting for hours outside the front of school. Have we had any parents left their kids at school? I was a child of a parent that left their kid at school a number of times, and I'd have to go back into the office and go to the office lady, can you ring my mum? She's not here yet. She's forgotten me. She's picking up my brother from the other school. But it's all part of the fun. And this is a good one for the adults, and this should be one of my New Year's resolutions. I promise to obey the 60-kilometre speed signs. And the last one is this. I promise to stick to these resolutions for more than 1 week. That was actually the most popular one. And so we had a little bit of fun at the start of the year talking about that with our young guys. And so it's actually, you know, some people have actually stuck to it and they're going really strong about it. And so tonight I want to talk about the difference between just a good idea and what is a God idea. And so if you want to turn with your Bibles with me, we're going to go straight to Matthew 14. Tell me when you got it. That'd be cool. So Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. I'm reading from the NLT. Feel free to read from whatever translation that you're reading from. That's cool. Starting in verse 22, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell where he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Continuing in verse 27, it says, but Jesus spoke to them at once. "Do not be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw a strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and said, "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why have you doubted me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshipped him. "You are really the Son of God," they exclaimed. After they crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. Is that how you pronounce it? Who are our scholars around here? I'm just going to go with that. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let him touch the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. That's a whole stack of scripture right there. Who loves scripture? I think it's important when you preach that you use the scripture, and lots of it. And so sometimes we can be exactly like Peter. We, you know, let's be honest for a moment. Who has ever doubted God? Has anyone ever doubted God? Yeah, it's right. You can put up your hands in church. We do it all the time. Just whenever you like, just, you know, we raise our hands for worship, we raise our hands to make a decision to follow Jesus, we raise our hands to support the preacher, we raise our hands for all sorts of stuff. It's okay to raise your hands in church. I'm pretty sure it is here anyway. So, you know, I'm sure there's been times where we have doubted God. And you know, sometimes it sounds like a ridiculous question is, why do we doubt God? And it says in verse 31, it says it clearly there, that we lack, that we doubt God because we lack faith. And it says in verse 31. Now, what is faith? So I want to briefly talk about what faith is tonight. And we know in Hebrews 11, it tells us that faith is confidence that what we've hoped for will actually happen. And it gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. The not yet seen part can often be the hardest thing to overcome. Who knows that? It's easy to believe in something when you can see it, but when you can't see it, who knows that it's a little bit more difficult. That you just gotta trust God that all the more. And so, you know, many people get caught up in the last part, but I like to focus on the first part where it says faith is confidence. And you know, the one, you know, I preach this, you know, at our church and our youth all the time. I talk about faith nonstop pretty much. They probably get sick of hearing me talk about faith, but I think if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, we need to live by faith. So that's why I talk about it all the time. And so, you know, if we're living by faith and if faith is confidence, then, you know, for us that are, you know, in church and been part of the church for a long time, you know, I walk around in youth ministry and I talk to teenagers all the time. They tell me of, you know, they're insecure about this or they're fearful of that or they're scared of this exam or they're scared of that. And I'm like, why do you fear? And they're like, I don't know. I just do. And I'm like, well, you got Jesus, don't you? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, why do you need a fear? God's with you. I go, you know what the difference between is you and the person sitting next to you in the exam? You've got Jesus and he doesn't. That's reality, really. And so I encourage my teenagers all the time. I go, before you hit an exam, go and pray. Go and spend some time with God. That's probably the, you know, one of the best kinds of preparation you can do just before your exam is just spend a few minutes and saying, God, I hand it over to you and I have full faith and full assurance that you're going to come through and you're going to support me in this and you're going to help bring remembrance to what I need to for today. And so I'm always on my teenager's case of make sure you pray. Make, you know, whether you're going for, you're 15, going for a job interview at Macca's, go pray before you go into that interview. Psych yourself up in some faith, and which is cool. We should be confident because it's a God idea and not our own idea. How do we determine whether it's a God idea or just our own good idea? I'm going to give you a couple of quick things. The first thing to determine whether it's a God idea or a good idea is it must be based out of the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with what it says in Scripture, then it's probably good chance that it's just your own good and wonderful idea that probably won't last. But if it's a God idea, it'll be based out of Scripture and it will last because, you know, Scripture is eternal. It's not for yesterday. It's not just for today. It's forever. And so we got to ask ourselves, does it line up with Scripture? The second thing is that we should ask for wisdom. And there's probably two key places where we can look for wisdom. And the first is this, in James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. That's a pretty good thing. This is us. It's as simple as that. Sometimes we complicate life a lot. And you know, I talk about it all the time. Like, life is not complicated. We make it complicated. But if we, you know, Scripture is simple. If we just apply that to our lives, it can, you know, if we're not sure about something, let's just ask God. That's why I tell my teenagers, let's pray. Ask God. And he'll direct your path. And pray about it. Ask God to open up the right doors and close the doors that aren't right. That's also an important thing is to, not just ask God to open the doors, but to ask God to close the doors that, you know, that are in front of you, that, you know, you don't want to step into that. So God, close the doors before even to get to the entrance. That's a helpful thing as well. And the second place to find wisdom is from wise people. You know, that's a basic thing. And Proverbs 13:13 says, blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. I encourage you, talk to your pastor, your mentor, your life group leader, whoever that's, you know, that you consider, you know, someone that you can go to and talk to about certain things. And for me, I always like a second opinion. Even if I find out something in the Scripture and I've been praying about it and I think it's a God idea, I always go talk to my pastor about it straight away. I'm like, you know, do you think this lines up? What do you think as my pastor? What do you think about this? And sometimes it's like, yep, go for it. You're doing it. Sometimes like, you know, just sit that one on the shelf. You know, maybe the timing's not right yet. Maybe the timing is right. I'm not sure. Just wait and see and just hold it there. So sometimes it is a God idea, but sometimes we get our timing wrong. And so that's another important thing to remember as well. It doesn't hurt to get a second opinion. and which is cool. Number three is that we should wait for confirmation. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 1 says this, it says, "This will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established." Be careful where you get, or who you get your confirmation from. And I know, like, we had one about 12 months ago. I had one of our teenagers in our youth group, who's been part of our church for a long, long time. And someone came up to her and said, "Oh, you know, you're going to marry this guy. You know, he's for you," and all that sort of stuff. And parents, please don't do this. This is a bad idea. And so they were going on about, you know, giving this prophetic word to them. And then the girl came to me and she goes, "Oh, I really feel like I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to start dating them now," and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, "Whoa, this is crazy. Where'd you get this from?" And they're like, "Oh, that person told me." I'm like, "Did God tell you?" I'm like, "If God hasn't told you, I wouldn't be like running away with it. Like, that's just a bit crazy. Like, I ain't going to do something outrageous like that unless God's spoken, unless I've got a second opinion, and then that God's confirmed it." There's some simple principles to take place when you do that. And so we've had, over the last 12 months, I've had to take this young girl on a journey to just, you know, to really unwind the mess that has happened. And so it's been quite a journey for us. We're still on the journey. But, you know, it's, you know, never make the mistake to just, you know, pretend, "Oh, that person's hearing from God on my behalf." God talks to you. God is a personal God. You know, he doesn't just talk to the person next to you. He talks to you, and he's freely available for you. And all we need to just do is just sit there and ask for wisdom. And I think that's a real important thing. You know, if it's not a God idea, then, you know, you know, if you take it to your leadership or whoever that you trust, it's always good to get a second opinion or a third opinion or a fourth opinion, and then just wait for that confirmation to know that it's God. Maybe it's, you know, in the Word again, or maybe it's situations that'll come up where doors are open and things like that. You know, and it's, you know, I'm not just talking about dating here. There are so many different situations and circumstances that go on. A God idea comes from God, and he will give you the idea when you spend time with him seeking him. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and patterns and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." The key word that I get out of that is, "But let God transform you." I know, you know, I've been obviously a pastor for the last 5 or 6 years, and they can't, you know, I get all these people telling me all their great ideas and everything they want to do, and I'm like, is that your own good idea, or has God transformed you? Is it just your own good idea, or has God really spoken to you? And, you know, you don't need to do it in your own strength, but let God lead you and let God guide you is what is important. And so to let God transform us, I think that's a real important thing. Some of you might be thinking, what is my God idea for 2014? I'm going to give a couple of examples. And as I'm sharing them, maybe one of these are for you, maybe none of these are for you, but you've got something completely different that you're going through at the moment. You know, there could be things that God is speaking to you about even now, or maybe it's just entering your mind. All right, what's the God idea for me this year? God, what do you have for me? And maybe for you, a simple thing is to, this is something that I did a couple of years ago, was to read the Bible in a year. Or maybe, you know, that might be good for you. Maybe for others, maybe it's actually just reading a verse a day, or reading a chapter a day, or just getting into the habit of developing that continuity. You know, that just getting yourself into a time where you can just have that time with God. And you know, God can speak to you with just one word. God can speak to you with many words. You know, the more you read. This is one thing, because I remember doing this when I was probably 12 years old, one of my friends gave me a challenge. He goes, I bet you can't read the Bible in a year. And so purely just out of motivation, just to prove him wrong, I actually read the Bible in a year. But then I got to the end of that year and I was probably, I don't know, 12, 13, whatever it was. And I got to the end of the year and I'm like, you know, I've read the entire Bible, but the whole purpose of me reading the entire Bible was not for the right reason. I'm just reading the Bible just so I can show my mate that I can read the Bible in 12 months. But what have I actually gained out of reading the Bible? Have I just been trying to flick through chapter after chapter, speed reading, just getting through it as quick as I can? Or am I stopped and waiting for God to speak to me? And so a couple of years ago, I felt challenged again to, all right, let's read the Bible from cover to cover in a year, but let God speak to me. And so what I did is I got my iPad out and I got the Bible out. And every time that God spoke to me through it, just the scripture, I would write it down. And so for 12 months, I'd write down all the scriptures that God had spoken to me about. And now I look back on it, you know, every so often, and I'm like, oh, God, you're so good. You know, I probably never grew so much in my faith in that year when I made a decisive decision to be like, I want to spend time with God, not just for the sake of reading the Bible in the year, but to, just to know that God, you'll speak to me when I put you first. And so that's an important thing. You know, for me, normally, you know, for me it's, and I don't know what it's like for you guys or how you guys do it. Everyone seems to be different. I know my wife is totally different to the way that I do it. I know for me, at the start of the year, I will start from Genesis, work my way through, and basically what I'll do is I'll just keep reading until God speaks. And so one of my key things that I like to do is I'll just keep reading until I find something that God really puts his finger on. It's like, yeah, that's for you. And sometimes that's just one verse. Sometimes that, you know, you can read through Leviticus and you can go through all these crazy books of the Bible and it's like, God, take me home now. But then you get other times and it's like you get 2 minutes into it and you got like five things that you've highlighted in your Bible and it's like God's just right there. And so one of the challenges that I put for myself is I want to keep reading until I get revelation. I don't just want to read just because that's what Christians do or that's what I should do because I'm a pastor. No, I want to read my Bible because I want the word to come to life. And if it's not coming to life, then I've got to keep reading. And there's nothing wrong with the book. It's got to be something wrong with me if I'm not getting anything out of it. You know what I mean? And so I'm constantly, God, I need to get my heart right. I need to be open to your word. God, would you speak to me today? I'll just pray for a couple of minutes before I even open up the word and say, God, please speak to me today. You know, what do you want to show me in your word today? And so maybe that's something for you to think about. So my primary focus isn't about how much I read, but it's about how is God speaking to me today. And God is always speaking. It's just a matter of tuning ourselves to hearing his voice. The second thing that I want to touch on is maybe, you know, for some like me, I've grown up in church my whole life and probably, you know, some of you guys have too. But, you know, maybe your challenge is to commit to coming to church every week, just making that commitment. And I know, like my wife, she's grown up in a split home where her parents separated when she was quite young, and so she would have some weekends where she was at dad's and some weekends when she was at mom's, and she couldn't come to church every week, and all it was just kind of a messy situation. And then she got to about 13, 14 years old, and she goes, "Mum, Dad, I'm a result of whatever's happened, but I want to go to church every week." And she made that conscious decision to go to church every week. And probably from that point was the point where she really had those encounters with Jesus, where she made that commitment to not just, oh, I just will come whenever Mum takes me, but I want to be there. Dad, you'll have to drop me off at church and pick me up after church. And when she made that conscious, that's when her life changed. That's because she made a conscious decision to be in the house of the Lord every week. And I think that's important. And I know for myself, I'm completely opposite to my wife. You know, I was born on a Saturday night at about 8:30 at night, and I was at church 10 o'clock Sunday morning. My mum is like a wonder, like I don't even know how she did it. But yeah, she just wanted to be in church because she didn't want to miss out on a Sunday. And I remember growing up, we would go on holidays, we'd go, you know, to Queensland or wherever, and it would come Sunday, and Mum would be like, you know what, we're not close enough to be at our church, we're going to someone else's church. And so I just grew up all my life, every Sunday, we would go to church, like I'd be coughing and splatting and sick and probably making half the front row sick, but we'll be going to church. And I remember having Sunday night services, and I was probably maybe 6 or 7 years old, and we had these really ugly pews in our church. And this was back in the time where I'd already spent 5 hours at church on Sunday morning, and then we're back at church at night, and as a 7 year old, probably running out of fuel by then, we're, you know, getting a bit cranky. And so my way to get back, cause I'm like, I'm just angry that I'm spending all my Sunday here. And what I used to do, I used to get my little crayons that Mum used to think that I was actually colouring in, but I was actually like graffitiing under the pews. That's what I was doing as a kid. I'm like, just like tagging my name and all that sort of stuff. But we were always at church, rain, hail or shine, whether we were sick or not, whether whatever was going on, we were just constantly in church. And that's, you know, and I look back on it, you know, after all these years being in church, and I'm quite thankful that I grew up in a family where we were planted in the house. And, because, you know, I probably wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for what my parents did. And even though when I was real young, I didn't even want to be there, but just them bringing me along. And then all of a sudden I hit youth and started getting connected in on a Friday night at a youth program. That's where I met Jesus at a youth camp. And so I do what I do today because of my encounter with God at that camp. And so, you know, I'm still determined every week that we want to see people saved in our youth ministry and in our church. And we had our encounter night on just this last Friday night, and we probably had over 120 teenagers there on Friday night, and we had about 12 salvations, which is phenomenal. It's an unbelievable thing that God is doing. Don't give me the praise, give God the praise, because He's doing what He wants to do in His house. And so, you know, commit to coming to church. I encourage you, you know, whenever there's a service on, whether it's morning, whether it's night, make sure you be here. Support your pastors, support the church. And they're not paying me to say this. I'm just saying it because I know it's good for you. And I know being one of those church kids from a little kid, and it's not about, my parents never made excuses of why we couldn't come. They would make excuses for us to go to church. They're like, I'll be like, Mom, I'm sick. I've got a cold. It's right. We'll go out the front and you'll get prayed for. That's pretty much how it worked in our house. And then it's like, well, you know, if you can't, oh, but I don't know if I can get, well, we'll pray now. All right. Why don't you get up? We're going into the lounge. We're going to lay hands on you right now, and we're going to pray that you get healed so you can come to church. That's kind of how it rolled in my house. And, so we were a little bit crazy, but we were still, like, I hated it at the time, but I look back now and I'm thankful for that. And, so I would encourage you parents to keep bringing your kids to church. Maybe something for you is maybe that you can find a place that you can serve in the church. I know for me, we're doing this thing at the moment this year, right across our youth ministries. We're trying to get 80% of our youth ministry involved in the life of the church in some way, shape or form. And I don't have any stats, I don't have any proof or anything like that, but I have this thing where I'm like, if you are serving in the house of God, there's more likelihood that you're going to hang around for a long time. And normally the people that come to church and then in a few years' time they're gone, the big reason for that is that they just sit and they just attend church and they just attend youth, but they don't get involved. They don't understand the price that people pay for putting church on and all the hours and time and commitment that goes into it. And then they sit back and they tell you everything that's wrong with your church. And you know, we've had those people in our church, and we're on this thing this year. We want to get 80% of our youth ministry serving in church and serving in youth in whatever capacity, whether it's ushering, whether it's being a youth leader, whatever it is, whether it be in the worship team or whatever. We want to get our teenagers serving to know what it is to serve God. And it's not just something that my parents do. It's not just something that my cousins do. It is something that's for all of us. And it's quite a cool thing. And so, like, I got my little cousins, they just finished up in kids' church, and And it's their first year in youth this year. And I've been going, I go, where are you serving in church? I go, you've been here all your life. You're part of the furniture here. You've been here since you were born. What do you want to do? They're serving in kids' church. They just started today serving in kids' church. So I was pretty excited as the old kids' pastor to have my little cousin serving in kids' church. And as 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds. And it's just quite an exciting thing to just get people serving. And just, you know, because when you're serving, you appreciate what happens when you serve. And so I want to encourage you, if maybe you're here today, or whether you're new or not, I'm not sure. But I want to encourage you, if you're not serving in the church, find somewhere to serve. Maybe it's just a simple thing, you know, whether you're just going to come half an hour early to church just to help with whatever that needs to happen. You don't even need to be officially part of something, but just be involved in some way. And so I'm sure there's people that you can talk to about that. And I want to encourage you to get involved in the life of the church, because church only grows because of the volunteers and the servants that are in the church. It's not just the pastor that does everything. A good healthy church has a whole church working, and it's not just working because, you know, the pastor tells us to, but they're working because they want to serve God. They're not serving the pastor, they're serving the King. And so I want to encourage you with that. And I'm going to go to the last one. So if maybe I can get the worship team to come up. I'm not sure where they're sitting, but if they want to come up, we're going to close up shortly. This is my last one. Maybe your God idea is that maybe God is challenging you to invite someone to church, or maybe a family along to church. You know, how good would it be to see, you know, your next door neighbour or someone that you go to school with or uni with or someone that you work with come into this church on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or a Tuesday night, whenever it is, they come into church, they find Jesus, they make a decision to follow Jesus, they get committed and start serving in church. That's like the ultimate dream. Who thinks that's the ultimate dream? Everyone's like, yeah, that's like the coolest thing ever. Let's do that. But the biggest problem that I find is people are just fearful about it. They're like, how do I do that? It's like, this is impossible. Like, how do I even talk to my friends about Jesus? How does this even happen? And in our church, we just launched yesterday. We're doing this evangelism course in our church just to really learn some simple principles about evangelism and how we can reach out to our friends. And so one thing that I've been challenging our teenagers at the moment and as well at church, we've been encouraging our church, is who are you inviting along? I've been talking about the power of an invitation. You know what? You might not know all the answers about church. You might not know all the scriptures off by heart. You might not know hardly anything. But there's something that everyone can do is just to invite someone along. Because I know, you know, that I really believe that it's our responsibility as a church that we need to bring the gospel to them and make them know about it. And there's a lot of people, and you know, there's a lot of people that I know as well, that just have no idea about Jesus. That don't, like, they have this conception of church that is just so, so different to what it actually really is. And so, one of the cool things that we've done in our church, and it's pretty convenient that we've got a new building right now. So it's like, come to church, come check out our new building. You know, you just come once, because it'll be like, oh, what's it like? You know, is it just like old Catholic church style? I'm like, no, it is definitely not old Catholic church style. And I'm like, and they ask me all these questions. I'm like, you know, the greatest way that you'll get an answer is just if you just come once. If you come once and you don't like it, I'll never ask you to come again. That's what I say to my, I got these new next door neighbours, and so they're like, they consider themselves atheists, but I really don't know what their real persuasion is. But and I was telling them, and they're like, they were telling me what they do, and I'm like, and then they asked me what do I do, and I'm like, I'm a pastor in the church, and they didn't even know how to respond to that, and I often get crazy response when people say, when I tell people that I'm a pastor. And I'm like, no, it's not as boring. It's not as crazy as what you think. You know, it's not all the crazy stuff that you see on A Current Affair. That's not what our church is. That's Hillsong. They're down the road. No, I got some good friends down there too. But just the power of the invitation. And how good would it be? And I'm only here tonight, but you guys are committed to this place. How good would it be to see this place filled to overflowing just by being able to invite people. And that's been something that we've been doing, you know, for the last 12 months. And this has been a real focus of our church because, you know, at the history of our, we haven't been real great at evangelists. So we've kind of made this a real thing that we're doing for over the last 12 months. And so the exciting thing is that since, and this is not to boast about our church, but this is just the power of what invitation does, is that we've really challenged our church to this. We've been doing these courses and getting people to learn how to just simply invite people to come to church. They don't need to tell them about Jesus. That's what happens when they come to church. That's the preacher's job, to tell them about Jesus. And so we've been doing this thing, and so in about, since I think it's since July to about now, we've had over 600 people come in our doors for the very first time, which is phenomenal. Like, absolute, like our church has grown by about 300 or 400 people since July last year, which is phenomenal. And that's just because we're pumping it in our life groups, we're pumping it at our leaders' meetings, we're doing it in all these, who are you inviting? Who are you inviting along that they can meet Jesus? You don't need to tell them about Jesus, you just need to tell them about our church. Just say, hey, come, why don't you just come once? Just come once. If you don't like it, I'll never ask you again, but at least I'm giving you the opportunity. And if people say no, then that's fine. Because people think, they said no, now what do I do? And well, if people reject, you can't help people when they reject the gospel, when they reject an invitation, but at least we've done our part is to just send the invitation. And I want to encourage you to just send the invitation. Who can you be bringing along to church next week? Who can you be bringing along to youth and young adults next week? Amen. I'm liking that. And just as I close, maybe you're sitting here tonight, and I don't know everyone that's here. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're like, God idea, good idea, whatever idea. I don't even know. I'm just here tonight because someone invited me along. You may not know Jesus. So I want to give you an opportunity for you to accept Jesus. And so what we're going to do, if you just want to close your eyes, just for the privacy for those that are around, and if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, it's just as simple as just saying yes. Jesus, I recognize my wrongs and I just want to be right with you. I want to commit my life wholeheartedly to you. Not just be someone that sits in church on a Sunday and does their thing, but I want to be committed to the house. I want to be committed to the church. I want to be committed to you, God. And so if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, I just want to ask you to do a courageous thing. I'm going to ask you just to slip up your hand in a moment. If that's you, if you want to respond, maybe you want to recommit your life to Jesus, or maybe you want to make that first time decision to follow Jesus. If that is you tonight, I just want to encourage you to raise your hands just right now. If that's you, you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, just to raise your hand. If there's no one here, that's cool. I'm okay with that as well. But I just thought I'd provide an opportunity. But why don't we just stand to our feet really quickly? And I've been talking about good ideas and God ideas, and maybe you're just trying to figure out, what is my God idea? Maybe you don't know. I want to encourage you. We're going to do this. I think Christ is enough. That seemed to work before, so let's do that again. So what I encourage you to do, you know, if you want prayer, we're going to open up the altar. I'll pray for you. If you want to pray, or you just want to worship God just for a few more minutes, I encourage you to do that. But if you want prayer, we're going to open up the altar as they sing this song. And so I'm going to pray and then you guys can get into it. And Zach, who's killing it on the drums. Give it up for Zach. I'm a drummer myself, so I'm really impressed with you drumming. And I probably started when you... How old are you? 13. Well, you started before me. And so you're going to be a good drummer. And he is a good drummer. He's going to be a great drummer. And I love seeing young people serving in the house. I think that's phenomenal. And so keep it up, Zach. You're doing a great job and the youth team are doing awesome. But I'm going to pray and then we're going to open up the altar. If you want prayer, I'm going to open that up for you. So Lord God, we just want to thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged, we would be inspired, we would be challenged by your word. And Lord, I pray that you would close the doors that need to be closed and open the doors that need to be opened. And Lord, I pray that you would bring fresh revelation and give us the God ideas for you. We don't just want our good ideas, but we want your ideas because your ideas last forever and they're eternal. So Lord God, we just want to commit this into your hands. And Lord God, we want to surrender to you and we want to honor you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.